All right. Hello, this is Emily Running, founder and director of DanceWire in Portland, Oregon. I'm here with Mizu Desierto, which I forgot to check in if I am saying my vowels right, there in October 26th, 2017. We're going to talk about her life and career as a dance artist, and she's also part of the DanceWire Ambassador Series. So, welcome.
Thank you, Mizu.
Yeah. So just to get started, I'd like to ask who you're currently working with. So just kind of a little painted picture of what you're up to right now.
Yeah, I just came back from Los Angeles. Actually, I'm doing a solo work, but I am collaborating with Studio M13, and that's Lisa DeGrace and Stephen Miller. And she's a sound designer, and he's a video film artist. Mm-hmm. So we made a 25-minute solo piece called, or solo dance piece, collaboration called Matriarch.
Okay.
And that feels like a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
But we did it in Seattle and Portland and LA as well, in alongside Degenerate Art Ensemble from Seattle.
Cool.
And they're like a dance, music, multimedia company. And I also have a project that I'm in the middle of that's a long-term, multi-generational women's project.
Mm-hmm.
The dancers come from, the oldest one actually, 64, and she's from the UK, living in Arizona part-time. The youngest one is 14. And so we are coming together because we live in different regions a few times a year, and have been working on the project over like 3 years now, and it will launch this spring. It's also multimedia.
Okay.
Yeah.
And talk about Water in the Desert.
Yeah, so Water in the Desert is the organization that I founded and direct, and it's a 501c3 arts and sustainability dual mission organization. So a lot of what we do, primarily what we do, is make, produce original dance theater work, often that has some kind of social, cultural, or ecological emphasis.
Okay.
And so we have within Water in the Desert a small black box theater called the Headwaters Theater, and then we also have an urban farm project where we host the artists that we bring here from abroad in residence, and we'll hopefully develop more of an artistic residency program out on the farm as well.
So the farm is the farm to host people, is that like it's created to be the residency space?
Yeah,
that's kind of its purpose. I mean,
it's my home.
I'm sure it's more.
It's my home, and then it's like all of our things, it's kind of project based. So when I do something like Buto College, which is has been an annual like 4-week festival, education workshops and performances in Buto, I host all the artists that are coming from that there, and we'll sometimes do like dinners together, with the farm produce, etc. So,
part of the sustainability part of your
mission. Yeah,
yeah,
in the community building part.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back in time. When did you start dancing? And can you just offer like a pretty brief overview of like highlights?
Yeah, sure. I like to say that I started making dances in my basement when I was 4 or 5, usually to the Xanadu soundtrack. And I started taking dance classes probably around that age too, just the usual ballet, tap, jazz.
Mm-hmm.
I took gymnastics as well, and like found that I was more interested in gymnastics, and I did this, I was in this like kids group of marionettes, where we did kind of acro gymnastic jazz, like into little regional tours.
Yeah.
So those were my beginnings. And then
at 14?
That was starting probably 5, 6 until like junior high school.
Okay.
And then I got more into theater actually, and went to like more traditional theater school first in Boston. And always loved the movement theater classes, though. Like, felt a natural inclination to work in that way through the body more. And then eventually was introduced to the whole postmodern world of contemporary dance, from contact improvisation to contemplative dance practices to Buto. physical theater and kind of found my home in those, in that world.
Sure.
Yeah.
I love that because I feel like when you talk to any dancer, they didn't just immediately go to and land on the dance style they, you know, have fallen in love with. They were like, well, I started because I was restless as a kid, and then I was doing ballet, but I didn't really like it, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then later in life, and then this influence came in. So I feel like there's always this, like, really interesting process of, and a lot of that is very random, right? So, like, what came into your, like, what coincidentally came into your life and opened you up? So, I don't know. Just as a message on people finding their place in the dance community, like, it might be kind of a windy route, and then you arrive, and you're like, God, I never knew this existed, but it took that whole path to get there.
Indeed. And that makes me feel like mentioning that a really significant life-altering moment was my father died when I was 23.
Okay.
And I was introduced to Buto almost, like, immediately after that. And it had this whole philosophy of death and dying and the whole spectrum of what it means to be alive. And and that fascinated me in a way that I pursued it in a whole new, you know, in a way that has stayed with me now for 20 years. So.
Right, right. Yeah,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah, what is it? What will, like, kind of take you to the next level of something?
Or, and it usually is just that, like, that spark can happen at any time, just depending on all the variability of circumstances. So, I mean, that kind of translates into the next question of just what does dance mean to you or has meant to you in your life? And it's quite a broad question, especially considering all of the styles you've done and, you know, just the length of your career. But I don't know, at its essence.
Yeah, I would say in younger years, just a creative outlet felt really important to have a place to, and actually that continues, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I feel like as I get older, the significance for me now is about how we, it's really about coming together with people and being able to be really liberated from other social conditions and be together in a creative context and be really intimate.
Like, what other social conditions?
Like, just that we don't have to get together and talk, like, it's not like a cocktail party, you know, that we're usually social with each other, to get in a studio with people and lose language or have it be abstract and be, you know, developing a way of a dialogue through our bodies is a kind of intimacy that I wish the world could have more of. And
absolutely, yeah, there are very few settings that just dive into all of the layers of a human, like that.
Think we really come to, as dancers, I think we are privileged with a certain self-knowledge that happens through explorations of being in our body and being creative with others in that way. And so part of what interests me or keeps the spark alive for me now is how, like, to give that gift to people who may or may not want to follow a technical side of dance in their life, but want to be present and be in community in creative ways. And I get really excited about workshops and, you know, like, outreach things that the people get invited to be.
So I guess it brings me to, I just have to ask then, how would you define dance? Because I think a lot of people define dance as technique and dancing with skill and doing choreography, right? So, like, so what would, you know, what is your definition of dance?
That's definitely one. I think that's a beautiful and important side of dance.
Yeah.
And I think I'm probably philosophically leaning more towards someone like Anna Halperin and her approach to dance as a community-based, a way that we come together and create rituals together. And and she's also, you know, comes from a highly technical background, but has devoted her life to inviting communities to participate in dance rituals. So I'm kind of, I'm drawn to dance as a ritual and how I, when I make work, I'm working from the inside out and in, like, looking at how we, like, penetrate certain realities, both beautiful or challenging in the world, and transform them on stage. Mm-hmm. And so I'm interested, I guess, in dance. It's a tricky word, ritual, but
right.
But it's the best one I have still for like mm-hmm. what it means to actually go and like really reveal yourself intimately mm-hmm. and like share some kind of transformative process.
Totally.
Yeah.
So I think our job yeah. between the two of us, yeah. we gotta start kind of rearranging people's idea on what dance is.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yes, so, yes, please.
I mean, yeah. I love that. Yeah. I love that it needs to open up a little bit. I mean, because there's so many elements of it. But
and that also goes into the multi-generational thing, too, because I've been in this process with women who are 20 years older than I am, and I'm in that phase as well where most people look at dance and it's like, you're still dancing from that traditional idea.
Yeah.
And that I believe that as we get older, we get wiser, and why not share? Our body might become more limited. You know, I can't do the like back handsprings and flips and things I did 20 years ago. I don't really need to express myself though.
Yeah.
Like there's a subtlety that comes from that knowledge and wisdom and like, yeah, I definitely.
Absolutely. And when you see a young dancer, so I mean, I love the idea of, you know, really multiple generations and you being in the middle, I guess, right now, right? Because I absolutely agree. People kind of think of you as older if you're past 30 even.
Sure.
But the young dancer, you definitely lose some texture and you lose some of that subtlety sometimes with just the presentation of a dance is often like more the external. And then gradually it starts like moving internally. And I like it. So were there any challenges you faced in your pursuit of dance?
I think that you have to be pretty brave to want to be a dancer in the world in general. And a little bit crazy, too, especially if you want to try and make it a professional, you know, lifelong career. So, and a lot of that comes from just, I think there's a lot of stigmas and stereotypes around dance, or maybe particularly since I might be even closer to what one calls performance art, you know, that's the movement based, or I feel that I feel like in general, like mainstream culture loves to make fun of dance, you know, it's like, oh, we'll do a interpretive dance and, you know,
right.
And it can be kind of ridiculous, you know? So I think there's that of just like, yeah, I'm going to, I think there's an immense amount of ego strength one needs to be an artist in general and a dancer even more so, because A, we're not making a product that anyone wants to buy because they can't take it home with them.
Right.
You know, so it's kind of an anti-capitalist pursuit in that way. And then you're rebelling against, all kinds of other standards and how to get funding and how to,
So many challenges.
Yeah.
What about, you know, you are known in Portland particularly as a buto artist. Or one of, you know, as one of your many things.
Yeah.
What challenges do you think that accompany that?
I would say that just takes what I just said to an even more extreme. Yeah. Because buto is so, in some ways, it's such an antithesis to work that's entertainment-based or it's kind of anti-virtuoso in a certain way, too. Mm-hmm. So there's the...
But virtuoso in such a different way.
Such a different way, like, it's true. Some people don't get it. You kind of have to, like, go to a workshop and train with someone before you're like, oh, wow, there's some crazy technique inside of here that's also just not just mental but physical. So I also think there's been a lot of, like, unfortunate stereotypes as the form has aged and become kind of codified, or people have an idea what it is, and that people don't even come to see what is calling itself buto often because they have an idea of what it looks like, and it's not interesting there. It's, you know, I think that common idea is it's... Japanese man with white paint and a tiny little like piece of underwear cloth, yeah, making ugly faces and doing really, really, really slow movement.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not anything like what I make, actually.
Sure. Do you feel like there is just a pretty extreme difference between, or maybe not a difference, I'm not asking this right, but I'm going to try to get my question across, which is, sometimes I feel like the experience of doing certain dance pieces, like even just a piece or a show or anything, like the experience of doing it is so rewarding, but if I were the audience, I would be like, well, I wouldn't actually want to watch that either. Uh-huh. Like, so, with some modern dance or with some other dance form, sometimes I'm like, I really feel rewarded if I'm doing it, but I wouldn't want to be the audience on the outside. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think that can happen in anything. And that is a question that I think some people feel about it. Like, oh, is it actually for our audience at all? And I personally, when someone is masterful at working with the imagination and the mind body and energy, which is what I think that work is at its essence, it's way more captivating to me than some crazy athletic performance that I kind of get the code for in 15 minutes. And and there is an audience for it. Mm-hmm. I've found that there's actually a stronger audience in Europe. But there's a growing, I've developed a good solid audience in Portland of people who love that, love the work that's in that aesthetic. So,
but
it also can be like anything. Well, it's like, some people really love slow films that take time to reveal and have a subtlety. And some people hate films like that. I would say more of those films are European. Mm-hmm. Also in origin too, so there is the challenge of, I think, the American fast-paced move,
entertain,
blow up. Yeah, it's like, no, we don't hit home with that audience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah,
I like it. Mm-hmm. So what types of resources, people, or opportunities help you the most? We kind of are going back to the challenges question.
Yeah.
What has been there for you?
Yeah. I would say in reference to having an art form that really respects a lineage of elders, that's something that I'm really pleased to be part of.
Sure. Mentorship, personal mentorship. Yeah.
Teachers and that's probably a way that the Japanese culture has extended into it, even as this form has traveled and diversified and that there's this kind of respect of lineage. But it's also about, it's not like, oh, stay here where your teacher is, that the whole movement is about how do we go forward and become our own dancer. So I think that having really strong teachers has been essential. When I was young and looking around where I was going to land, Portland made sense because there was funding here for that people supported this strange work that I was making. And so getting an initial RAC grant was enormous for me and helped me start to build a reputation and foundation here. And I'm ever grateful for that organization in this city. It's helped so many artists.
Totally.
today, I have a foundation, the Dubois Charitable Trust, that they've created a 25-year fund for water in the desert. So
wow, 25 years?
Yes.
Well, that's not common.
No, it's not. And that came in this amazing surprise of this wonderful woman who contacted me because she'd seen a film with Bhutto in it and wanted to learn a little bit. And so I did a private session with her and she started coming to shows, and she is someone who loves the aesthetic.
Yeah.
And her son just happened to have, sell a big online gaming platform and wanted to donate to the arts. So
it's that coincidence and the spark and it's so funny because you almost can't create it, but when it happens and it's
Right. I mean, who? Amazing. I couldn't have gone out looking for that.
Right.
Like, where am I going to get 25 years of funding from?
Nowhere. I'm going to tell you right now, there is nowhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Except for this.
Uh-huh.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I feel super grateful that we've had support. Mm-hmm. And I trust that it's because we're doing something with integrity and energy. And
absolutely.
That,
yeah. And that, you know, that touches on just another challenge that artists face, I think, is that reinforcement. Like, I mean, you talk about needing the ego to follow through, and it's kind of true. I mean, it's like, where do you get that positive reinforcement? It's usually not through money. It's often not through, like, mainstream appreciation for what you're doing.
Exactly.
So, like, that, I don't know, like, those little, and even a little background, super big gesture towards, like, oh, somebody else sees something.
It's true. I feel like still most of the time, if I'm actually, because the organization I do is so multifaceted, that if I'm actually, like, making work, I'm pretty much donating my time to that often.
Mm-hmm.
And the reward, I question this a lot. Like, there's so many artists, and we just keep on, even if we're middle-aged, we're going to make our work. We're going to, you know, like, self-produce somehow. And like, what is it? And I think so. It's really about the exchange. Like, there's nothing better than someone who comes up after or sends you a message and, like, I'm still thinking about that, and it's touched me in a way I don't even know have words for. You know, these kinds of these exchanges that happen, and between dancers or between collaborators or between audiences, like, that's it. That's the gold right there.
Exactly, and I wish more people could, like, see into that world sometimes, or that, I mean, even the collaborative rehearsal world and just that, like, meaningful connection. So
And what we learn about
ourselves and our
absolutely. Yeah.
It's such a unique thing that whenever I'm in a rehearsal, I'm just thinking, like, oh, I wish more people saw the bond that happens or had that experience.
Right.
Like, how many colleagues do you share that level of intimacy with?
It's true.
In dance you do, and it's I mean, it's so, you know, it's over a long term. It tends to be. So,
Those are like the deepest relations of my life.
Yeah,
my familial
absolutely.
Relations are the people I've danced with for years.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Awesome. So do you have an artist statement or kind of a longer term vision of what you hope to accomplish through your work? It's a big question,
but take it
however you will.
I didn't bring a piece of paper with a statement.
I have
written them before, and I also think that they're always evolving, and so I'm going to improvise. Artist statement and future of work. I feel like I want to keep making work that nourishes, that heals, that shines a light on hidden aspects of culture, that shines a light on maybe pathways through the regeneration of some of these like darker aspects of our humanity. I work a lot with, like, connecting with my ancestry, with maybe certain personal or collective traumas, and also, like, the extraordinary, and to just, like, provide a space to be able to experience, you know, on the stage, like, a spectrum of experience, and also to give that experience to students in the development of their work and craft, and eventually, like, my goal is really community-based, as I said, like, I feel like art is what we need most, what I need most right now in order to keep on evolving as a human being. And
So anyone open to that experience, anyone open to that exploration should call you.
Absolutely.
Or come to a show.
Absolutely.
Or show up at Water in the Desert.
I think the work makes us more sensitive, makes us more intuitive, makes us, like, I feel like through the work I've done, it's a little magical. It's like, I feel like I have a certain way that I see and perceive things, and animals or plants or and I'm really open to a kind of a dialogue and I want to keep opening up the sensitivity of this container and expressing all of that. And,
right.
Yeah, and I think that's what we need in the world is more sensitivity.
Totally. I'm working with this student at PNCA as a mentor. She's exploring physical literacy. So we just spent a lot of time talking about, like, what is physical literacy and intuition and, you know, what do you lead with, your brain or your gut or your heart, and where are the messages originating and finalizing, you know, we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
Which
also feels like physical literacy or somatic or emotional intelligence.
Right.
Are these things that have been suppressed a lot by capitalist culture and that's my way of rebelling and participating in a more integrated culture and future.
All right, so how would you describe the current dance scene in Portland?
I wish I could say that I knew better. I feel like we have a really nice, like, diversified palette of dance and enough where you can kind of touch into, like, most styles that you have an interest in here. I do wish we had more regular Gaga, because I love it.
Yeah.
That even though I think that it's pretty common people get isolated in their own worlds, making worlds, and even the worlds with their audience, and that there might be little microcosms of, like, who crosses over with this community, or... And that just seems... Sometimes I'm like, why don't we all see each other's work? And why don't we all know each other? And I also just think it's probably very natural and organic that that happens. And at the end of the day, I feel like... I've always felt like there is an underlying support amongst the dancers here in Portland. That even if we don't see each other's work, it's like we're really supportive of, like, oh... You're a dancer or a dance organization and you're building something, and that there's a kind of psychological just support that...
I would definitely agree with that. I think that the everybody being in their own little pockets isn't an intentional kind of shut out of anything.
Yeah.
It's more of just a necessity of how much... effort it takes to remain focused on what you're doing.
Totally.
And that, but if you do knock on somebody's door, they're more than welcome to, you know, they're more than happy to welcome you in and just, and I love that you say that there just feels like a sense of support, amongst artists here. 'Cause I think that that is pretty unique.
And I appreciate what you're doing, because I think you are creating a pathway for those diverse artists to come together and have conversations.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're hoping for is just that. I mean, part of it is a lack of venue, right? So if DanceWire is an online forum or as events or whatever it is that we can do to be that platform or to be that venue for that, like, that's great.
Yes.
Yeah.
I really appreciated the ambassador meeting, just being with a very diverse group, small diverse group of dancers, and, like, how joyous it was to share with each other.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that that's where we find a lot of inspiration. You know, is you have to look outside of your world for inspiration, and you have to look outside of, like, your kind of patterns for inspiration, and so it's always getting together with all variety of people and dancers to me just, like, sparks so many things going that, oh, and I want to do this and this and this, and, you know, it just creates a really good level of excitement. So
great.
So if you were to paint a picture of what the dance scene might, or more like what you hope it could look like in 10 years, what would it be?
Here,
like, what do you, yeah, like, what do you hope could change?
It would be amazing to see there actually be enough support here for there to be more companies that can pay dancers to work with them, that have that that then are afforded that space and time to actually
yeah.
like, really make more professional work.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. Right. That would be amazing.
I'll put that wish out there for sure. I'd love to see the continued just diversification of the scene, and as the city's growing and more people are coming in from different places, that we just continue to like create this spectrum of possibilities through dance expression.
Totally.
And
that's kind of acknowledging. Yeah. I think that Portland does also really acknowledge currently the importance of emerging artists uh-huh. versus like established artists, and
right.
Definitely we don't want to see that those emerging artists get left behind, because right. then where do they, you know, who grows right. into the established artists?
Right, and vice versa, too, though, yeah. vice versa. I have talked to some dancers in this city that are, you know, now my elders, and how they had this moment in time where there was a lot of support, and then they kind of got forgotten. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I think that this is also something of interest, like how do we maintain support for artists of all kinds, but particularly dancers as they age, if they're continuing to be interested in developing work. Yeah.
I like that because it goes into the whole stereotype of after 30, like, why are you even dancing?
Right. And the new now next.
Sure.
You know, obsession with youth and youth culture.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, please support emerging artists too. But like I don't know how you balance that.
Yeah.
I'd love to see that climate where both can really thrive.
Well, I think, you know, like the work that you're doing right now with the multi-generational, maybe finding a way to actually, I don't know, it's not necessary to work together, but again, that connectivity, something that keeps that dialogue going, or something that keeps the respect going both ways.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. Well, anything else? Any final words that you want to share?
I don't know. I feel like I kind of said, I think I said it.
You said it, correct. I think you said it as well.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Emily.
Yeah.
Cool. So we did.